Turning your Bibles to Psalm 23. Today we'll be looking at Psalm 23, and this psalm, of course, is very well known, even by people who only have the faintest idea of what is in the Bible or have barely heard of Christianity or know what it's about, probably have heard of Psalm 23 and often read at funerals and so on. It's a very familiar psalm, probably one of the most well-known portions in the entire Bible. But it's so wonderful to look at it. We see the Lord here presenting himself as a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And we think of the Bible, we can trace throughout the Bible shepherds. And God has a sort of an affinity towards shepherds. You know, the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, were shepherds and herdsmen. Moses was a shepherd. King David was a shepherd. The Lord announced his birth through the angels to the shepherds and those who serve in the ministry to care for God's flock. He calls them shepherds or under-shepherds. And so the shepherds have a place in God's word. But the Lord himself characterizes himself as a shepherd. By the Spirit of God through David. This is the Psalm of David, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah, Yahweh, the Eternal One, is my shepherd. And he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He lies me beside the still waters. Here, the emphasis really is on the peacefulness and calmness of being with the shepherd. The Lord Jesus, who is our shepherd, gives us the calm in the storm, the peace that passes all understanding. It's interesting that this psalm is really part of a triplet, Psalm 22, Psalm 23, and Psalm 24. Psalm 22, we see the death of the Lord Jesus on the cross, Roman crucifixion. In Psalm 24, we will see, Lord willing, tomorrow, the Lord's return in glory, his glorious second coming. And so we may liken Psalm 22 to the Lord Jesus as the good shepherd. John chapter 10, he says, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And then in Hebrews chapter 13, it speaks of God who raised that great shepherd of the sheep from the dead, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there he's characterized as the great shepherd. And this is what we have in Psalm 23, the great shepherd who's been raised from the dead, who's in heaven, watching over his sheep, caring for his flock from glory. He's a great high priest, ever living to make intercession for us and to save them which have come unto him to the uttermost or to the very end. And then we have in 1 Peter chapter 5, of course, we get the Lord Jesus as the chief shepherd, the one who will appear in glory, the glorious shepherd who is coming to save his people. And this is what we'll have when we look at Psalm 24. So it's sort of a triplet, three psalms together. His death, his present intercession for the saints, and his glorious coming. But as we move on the psalm, we see in verse 3, it says, he restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And that word there, restore, also can have the idea of refresh. And dear saint of God, this is what we need, isn't it? Restoration often. We lose touch with the Lord. We allow things in our lives that our communion with him is interrupted. And he restores our soul. He's always working to that end to restore us. But the idea there, too, is refreshment, getting refreshment from being in his presence, getting that cleansing from through the washing of the water of the word and that correction that we need. And how lovely to know that his blood cleanses us from all sin. And then in verse 4, of course, we get the well-known verse that's often quoted at funerals. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And there we get again the idea of the Lord's presence with us. But the first part of that verse is, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And this is often referred to in connection with death, and that's why it's read at funerals. But there may be other ways at looking at this that are probably a little more scriptural. It's a wonderful thought that the Lord is with us in death, and He is with us in death. He's with His saints in death. That is for sure. There's no doubt about it. But when He says, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that may be actually a description of the world. The world is the valley of the shadow of death. It's a place wherein the shadow of death lies across. People are in fear and in bondage out of fear of death. But we know that the Lord Jesus entered into death to deliver us from that fear that Satan would put people under. We get that in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, that He might deliver them who were all their lifetimes subject in bondage and subject to fear because of death. And the Lord Jesus has defeated death. And so this world is a scene upon which death has crosses over like a shadow. It's also the place where the Lord Jesus was crucified. And I think of the world in that way. It's the valley of the shadow of death. This world is but the empty tomb of Christ. Christ died here, but He's no longer here. And so the shadow of His death looms over this world. But nevertheless, while we're here in this scene, walking through it, through this world, His presence is with us. The Christian doesn't have to fear in any way. Someone asked an old saint of God about that he was struggling with anxiety and with fear of what the future would bring. And the old saint responded to him, that the Christian has no hope but glory. We have no future but glory, so we need not fear. You know, when David was writing this, perhaps he was thinking of when he was in the valley of Elah in 1 Samuel chapter 17, and he faced someone who would put fear in most of our hearts, and that was Goliath. And, you know, David came against him not with a sword or a spear, or with Saul's armor, but he came against him in the name of the living God, and he defeated the giant there in the valley. In the valley of the shadow of death, he found that the Lord was with him in power. Then he says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And of course, that's the shepherd's tools, the rod for correction or for protection from enemies, and the staff for support. And then we have the closing verses, thou preparest a table in the presence, a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, that's where the Christian is headed, is to the Father's house. The Lord promised that. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. I go away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. We'll be with Him there in the Father's house. It says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely, goodness and mercy can be translated as love or even steadfast love. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life that I'm here. All things work together for good to them that love God and that are called according to His purpose. But we have the hope of glory, the hope of being in the Father's house, not from any righteousness of our own, but from His righteousness. He leads us in the paths of righteousness practically, but He is our righteousness for our standing before God. So we can divide this psalm basically into three parts. Verse 1 to 3, the secret of a happy life. Verse 4 and 5, the secret of a happy death, if you want to look at it in that aspect. And verse 6, the secret of a happy eternity. May the Lord bless you today and cause you to think of our good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.